And welcome, everybody. We are live on the Spocast, everybody, and we have big things coming up tonight. You guys stay tuned because big announcements, and we got some peeps up in here. Let's get them up in here. Tommy Grayson, what's up, brother?
What up, man? Tommy Grayson in the house. Whoop, whoop. How you doing?
Hell yeah. When it all falls down, that's the name of tonight's event, because we are previewing this Saturday's win event, Wrestling Is Now, where Pro Spo Wrestling has not one but three matches, and we're going to get on that in a minute. We also have titles on the line this Saturday night, you guys, and we have a big announcement coming up in just a few minutes. Let's get Delco in here. What's up, Delco? Do you care?
I normally don't care, but today I do care. It's one of those anomalies,
Well, I'll allow it. What's up, Big 80s Donnie B?
I care. I care about all of you.
That is the most appropriate answer.
That's the truth. Thank you. If you believe in lies.
What do you guys think of my custom arena that I made behind me?
That's cool, man. You made that?
Yeah, I made it. Look, here's Renee Paquette and Gene Okerlund right here.
Mark. Yeah.
And look up here. It says CM Punk in the crowd. Someone has a CM Punk sign. I had to use that. And over here, we got JBL. Yeah, that's my little gimmick, you guys. Thank you.
Wow. My buddy
currently sitting. Ron,
he makes those, yeah.
Currently sitting in the Batcave at Grayson Manor. So, we're currently using that on set picture.
Yep.
Sweet.
Exactly. So what's up? We got our people in here. No YouTube tonight. What? Oh, yeah. YouTube's not up. Let me add YouTube. Sorry. Good call.
Come on, John.
What's up, Too Tough Tony? Good to see you this past Sunday at GCW. I just want to give a quick shout out to Too Tough Tony. He was by far the MVP at both nights GCW for Team JCW. He hit the media right. He got all of his stuff in. Love Too Tough Tony.
Yep. Danger Ginger in for the save. Thank you. Good looking out, brother. So guys, real quick before we get started, I got to make an announcement. All right. Do you realize, everyone, that we started Spo Wrestling on New Year's Eve of last year? We announced it Black Friday of November. So we're not even a year old yet, you guys. We're just over 9 months. We're like a gestation period, like a baby, right? Yes. So before we get started with, we got Roll the Dice coming up November 2nd in Harrah's. We got a big event coming up. We're going to be adding things to this event. It's going to be, you already see what we have. All right. We've already added a lot. It's a pretty good, we got, of course, Simon Gotch versus Rick Blade. Okay. We know that. We have Facade and Danny Moe debuting. Feral Face returns. Tasha Steeles from TNA debuts. Todd Gordon returns. Blackout, myself, and much more. But we're at a casino, guys. We somehow have managed to be on the precipice of running events at Harrah's Philadelphia, and we're not even a year old. I, for one, am so happy and thankful to the fans that have allowed us to get this far. The fans that sat in a firehouse in the winter, and with hardly any heat, the wrestlers in the locker room with hardly any heat. Like, we've paid our dues to get here, man. And I just want to say thank you to the fans. So we're going to offer this right now to everyone, okay? 50% off tickets right now. Wow. And if for a very limited time. Now, keep in mind, we haven't added any value to the event yet. I haven't only added the one match, Simon Gotch versus Rick Blade. Rick Blade's first match in Philadelphia in over 20 years.
That in itself is monumental.
Yeah. So basically, guys, you save 50% off, okay, for the next, I'm not going to say how long. I'm going to keep it up for at least a day.
Did you feed them?
Okay. No. At least a day. If we can go longer, we'll go longer. Buy them now. Take my word for it. Once we start announcing more and more, you're going to wish you could have gotten in at these prices. We want to pack this place. It's not even necessarily about anything other than having a big house and everyone having a lot of fun and us christening this new building that Spo Wrestling is going to rise to the occasion and we're going to run regularly going into 2025. So I just want to thank everybody for that. And I want to say that we couldn't have done it without you fans. So use promo code Philly right now at SpoWrestling.com and save 50% off. And I've even put a very limited number of front row tickets in this 50% off right now. So you can actually get front row tickets right now. So if you're a fan of the Spocast, if you've supported us since day one, if you've been there in Burlington and you now want to come see us in Philly, use promo code Philly, guys. There you go. It's because we love yous. All right. Boom.
That's awesome, bro. You know, that's I give you a lot of credit for that, because a lot of promoters would be short-sighted and say, I'm not going to do that, sell my tickets for 50% off. When you go into a new building, a new marketplace, a new area, one of the things you want to do is blitzkrieg that as much as you can with specials and coupons and discounts. Not because your product's inferior, but because you want to give an ample opportunity to people who might not be otherwise able to afford it in that area to come out and sample it. And once you bring them in and they enjoy it, and then you can put your regular price tickets on sale. That's fine. I have no issue with that. I applaud that. I would even go as far as to do like discounts and sales for Vets of America or first responders. We did all that with Contest of Champions. It works great. Even if you can get into the local school systems, a flyer goes home to every kid, the local school system. We did that for the Lacey Show a few years ago at Mark Henry. We had, I think, 4,000 flyers went home, and we had deals on the flyer itself. So buy one, get one free, or discount ticket, whatever it was. But it works great, man. Anything you can do, if I don't know how many people that building holds, we're going to find out. But the objective is, people always tell me, how many people do you want at the show? I say, as many as humanly possible. There is no limit. Like you want to put, right. You want to turn them away. That's the objective.
Exactly. Exactly, dude.
And it's in Philly, bro. It's a great product. You guys are doing really cool, creative, innovative stuff and featuring folks that haven't been seen in a long time. And just, I love it, dude. I love the vibe. I love what you guys are doing. I love the creativity and the ingenuity behind everything you guys are doing. Just keep it up, bro. I really think you guys have made some good strides this first year.
Thanks, bro. And let me tell you, you know, it's a whole different world, bro. Like when you were booking these events in the 90s, okay, and then I started booking events in the late 90s and then a lot in the 2000s, you could make a phone call. Everyone knew everyone's price. We all knew Bundy was 500. We all knew Snooka was 750 if you wanted to do the Snooka Splash. Everyone knew. Now, with social media and everything, each name, each legend, why would they put their price out there when each individual promoter, if they talk to them on the phone, they can get a different price from every one of them?
Yeah, I see both sides of the argument. For the talent, it's good. For the promoter, it's kind of rough. It all also boils down to your personal relationships with a lot of these talents. Like, I'm not just putting myself over, but there might be a talent out there who might do an event for me at a certain price other than Joe Smith, who's never promoted before. And the reason is, they know they're going to be taken care of. They know the event's going to go off without a hitch. They know they're going to be respected. That all goes into the booking. So when you get a price from a talent, if they don't know you and they're just strictly taking a booking, I never ever booked a talent without being vetted. Even when we brought in Sting, I had 3 or 4 people go to Sting on our behalf and speak to him before I even committed to booking him for that. And he did his homework. Within the first 30 seconds of getting in my truck that night when I picked him up, he said, so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so spoke extremely highly of you and your brother, you and Nova. And I want to just, he shook my hand. He said, I just want to tell you guys I heard great things, and I think we're going to have a fun weekend. So he's, in the first minute, he said that when he got into my truck when I picked him up. And I said, I couldn't be more of an honor to have you in my truck, sir. And then I got lost in the bowels of Newark. But yeah, that's right. We got him there.
Fun times.
Yeah, bro.
The bowels of Newark. Are there any other parts of Newark? Yeah. What are the non-bowels of Newark? I want to go there.
I don't know. There was construction coming out of the airport, and we were going left and right. And it was 6 minutes from the airport to his hotel, and I made one of those wrong turns, and all of a sudden my little GPS thing, that I had it on an angle so only I could see it, it went red, and instead of 6 minutes, now it says 18 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my God. But I'm no-selling it. I'm driving around, and Sting looks at me and goes, are we lost in the hood? And I go, no, we had to take another turn, like a wrong turn, because of traffic. He was like, oh, okay. And then we just pulled up, and it, you know, it was all good. But for a second there, I was like, oh shit, I had to make one turn and I blew it.
That's called the pits of Newark,
dude. That's a TV show though. Like, you know how they did the whole show waiting for the table at the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, me picking up Sting, yeah.
A whole show, you and Sting lost in Newark while the GPS counts down in front of them would be excellent.
When I grabbed Mark, when Mark Henry came in, I was a different relationship, obviously, because he's like super great friends with Nova, and we hit it off like instantly. We were driving along. I think I even missed the turn. Didn't even realize like we were coming back from Philly, and like it was like two old friends that haven't seen each other in 20 years. Like, that's how my conversation went with Mark. And then we met up with Ratchet. He did the appearance at Ratchet Gym that night. Then we all went to Texas Roadhouse and had dinner. It was just awesome, dude. Mark was like, nice. if Mark lived in Jersey, we would hang out a lot. That's what kind of a cool human being. Forget pro wrestling and all the other stuff that he did. No, that's incredible. Just as a cool person. Like, I would hang. I'm not sure I'd ever really hang out on a regular basis with Sting, but I'd hang out with Mark Henry, if that makes any sense. We're the same age.
Oh. So, like, mm-hmm. He's kind of like another Sean O'Hare for you.
Yeah, an action figure, yeah.
You get excited when you get your Mark Henry. Yeah. We reached out to Mark Henry trying to get him November 2nd, Donnie. That's how big we're trying to harpoon whales, bro.
Was he available?
It didn't work out.
All right.
But we're trying. But the point is, let me tell you something. Running shows at a firehouse is one thing. Running shows at a casino, I feel like my old self again. I have been on the phone more the last 48 hours than in the last 48 days.
No, I've been there.
I don't know how you do, dude. It's so different now. Like, I wish the listeners could understand how different it is to run wrestling these days. Like, I feel like if this show was an hour of me on the phone trying to book wrestlers, these fans would love listening to it, because you should hear the things we talk about and the things I find out from these people. And just some of the prices, I'm sorry, are astronomical. You're not going to see many legends on many wrestling events in this area in the United States anytime soon, you guys, because of how much money they are charging. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm just saying we're trying to build a hell of an event for November 2nd so that we can keep doing consecutive events at this casino. Okay. And we are going to add value to the tickets. Okay. BJ just said, he said, wow, a front row ticket just purchased for under $20. He doesn't even understand the value of that yet, because we haven't finished making the card. We've only announced one match. So buy your tickets now and trust me that you're going to be thankful later, because starting next week, all roads lead to November 7th. This Saturday, there's two SPO titles on the line, the gold title and the tag titles. So after this Saturday, everything's going to come clear for what has to happen November 2nd.
Actually, Johnny, if we want to get technical, all three sets of SPO titles are on the line, because the silver and the gold titles are technically being defended against each other.
No, I'm the silver champion, so I got to put it up against Whiplash.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got my belt on the line against Whiplash this Saturday. This is the Wrestling Is Now event. It's in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, at the Mecca, 106 Bergen Ave. Tickets are pretty friggin' reasonable. Check it out on Eventbrite. You got Joel Maximo in a four-way match.
And you also got Face. You got Face taking on Decker. Decker's our gold champ.
Face versus Decker, which I had here somewhere. I don't see it now. I had it uploaded. Let me find it. Hold on a second. Face first Decker. Here it is. Good looking guys. We can't keep them off. So Face versus Decker was already announced, and now they're putting the belts on the line. Decker decided, I'm going to put the heavyweight title on the line. Face isn't even the number one contender. Pat Dynamite is. So whoever, you got to think Dynamite's in line for whoever wins this. So this match happens Saturday.
Right. So that's what I mean. All three active SPO championships are being defended at the Wrestling Is Now show in some capacity.
Well, yeah, if my belt's on the line, it doesn't say in this graphic that my silver belt's on the line though. So only two belts are on the line, technically. The SPO gold title and your tag titles. So what about the tag titles, bro? Let me show this real quick so people see it. All right, check this out. Donnie's looking great, by the way. Look how handsome he is. Here we go.
What up, Wrestling Is Now? Back seats back September 21st at Ridgefield Park, the Mecca. And we are putting it all on the line in a winner-take-all match. The JCW Tag Team titles, and we are taking back not only the SPO Tag Team champions, but we are bringing home the Wrestling Is Now Tag Team titles. And we promise to be the trifecta Tag Team champions of the world. Back seats back, baby. All right.
Nice.
Right. So that's winner take all for Wrestling Is Now this weekend. The Backseat Boys, the current JCW Tag Team Champions, taking on the Unit, the current Wrestling Is Now Tag Team Champions. And also in the match, Nate and Dave, the SPO Tag Team Champions, the Rep. All three belts being defended in one match, winner take all. One team is going to walk out with three sets of belts. So,
wow.
Jeez.
It's a lot of that's a lot of carry-on luggage.
Hell yeah. That's exciting, man. This is going to be a big match. Delco, Mr. Bristow, have you ever been to this event venue?
I have not. I have not.
A lot of events happen at this Mecca. It's like it's like a Corrigan Hall of America. You know, there's different Homicide just wrestled Kenta there recently. So it's a neat venue. It's up there in North Jersey. It's a good venue. It's not too far away from New York. That's this Saturday. Yes. Yep. This Saturday, right there. So we're all going to be there for that. It's going to be pretty exciting. They always put on great events there. So the fact that we didn't have our event in Gloucester City, but now we're doing these matches here, is a huge help for SPO wrestling. It gets, you know, these matches have to happen. So, and like I said, a lot is going to change moving into November 2nd. So you don't want to miss next week, because the build starts. So the build starts next week. So anyway, guys, tonight at 8 o'clock, what's going to happen, Tommy?
Tonight at 8 o'clock, of course, is what I am referring to, or what Johnny is referring to, as the director's cut of Trip TV season one. As announced last week on the Spocast by myself, Big 80s, Donnie B, and Johnny Cashmere, Trip TV in its current format is being reshuffled, and as a result, season one comes to a hiatus. It's not going to be a definite hiatus, but Trip TV, as you currently are seeing it, is going to be different. It's going to focus a lot less on the in-ring action and a lot more on the backstage, behind-the-scenes stuff between, you know, the back seats and, you know, the rest of the SPO wrestling roster, and just the extended backseat universe. You're going to see appearances from guys who you've never seen before, ever. You're going to see things that you didn't expect to see out of any of us. All, of course, you know, nothing that would be considered R-rated, of course, because this is going to be on YouTube. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. You're going to see road stuff. You're going to hear road stories. Some of the recurring segments that people liked, like Story Time with Gotch, Gathering with Gotch, you're going to see recurring segments involving him, because, you know, as previously announced, you're going to see Simon Gotch at Roll the Dice November 2nd. So I have a funny feeling like you're going to see a lot more from Simon Gotch on whatever continuation of Trip TV is, because, you know, we love Gotch and Gotch loves us, and, you know, he's got stories for days. Also, you're going to see a lot more Juggalo related content, because we can't go episode without talking about Juggalos or the ICP. And of course, you will catch us on the Train of Terror tour in October. So definitely some form of Trip TV episode following the Train of Terror tour will be released, and you will probably most definitely confirm to see Train of Terror tour footage. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Train of Terror is looking great, man. Check out the Juggalo Championship Wrestling Instagram page, and you can see all the tours coming up, all the different stops along the tour. For example, like, here's one right here, 31st, the Masonic Temple, right there.
That's Hollowicken.
That's what it's going to be, man. Halloween in Detroit,
October 23rd. There's that.
Listen, I know exactly. We'll go back to that one in Nashville.
Here. No, wait, here.
Listen to me. I went to Nashville in May, and we saw Wolfie Van Halen, and that's where it was, the Brooklyn Bowl. And I said when I was there, I posted on Facebook, this venue would be incredible for a pro wrestling show. It was one of the coolest venues I've ever been in. I know exactly where that's at. The building kicked ass. It's about 7 or 8 minute drive from Broadway, right in Nashville. You can actually walk there from there, but if you guys are hanging at all, it's like literally a 7 or 8 minute Uber from to Broadway. And then you could go all over from there. But I don't know how long you guys are just going to be there for a day.
We're going to be on, the entire tour. So, yeah, we're going to be passing through Nashville. And then I believe the next stop on the tour is going to be Alabama. So figure, you know, we might be in town really just, like passing through and then leading up to the event. But I mean,
yeah, if you guys can get out at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
To Nashville. Dude, I love Nashville. I loved it, man. That when you guys are in that building, you're going to say, oh, shit, Donnie was right, man. This is awesome. It's like a two-level deal, and the ring probably in the middle, and it's like a nest of like a perch. People are above and below. It'll make more sense. It looks like a bowl. You'll see it.
Well, Well, you'll definitely be able to watch us live because, as announced by Violent J in a promo that we just put out the other day, all of these shows are going to be streaming live on YouTube, and it's going to it's going to be leading up to the October 30th event, which is going to be Devil's Night, JCW level Devil's Night, the pay per view. It's definitely going to be airing. You know, we're working on finalizing the platforms for that. A version of it will be streaming on YouTube. So, you know, just stay tuned because if nothing else, you're going to get to definitely watch us live in Tennessee at the Brooklyn Bowl.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now look, if there's a show on October 30th, Devil's Night, you guys have to do some kind of Mischief Night Madness thing with pumpkins and all that shit. We did that years ago at Ratchet. Dude, it was fucking awesome. It was one of my favorite matches ever. It was the Mischief Night Madness match, it was called. Eggs, shaving cream, pumpkins. Dude, it was nuts, dude. And the fucking audience loved it.
You'll definitely see some sort of, you know, carnage going on for Devil's Night. You know, I can't exactly, you know, spoil anything too far ahead. But, you know, like I said, get your tickets. And if you can't get your tickets, definitely have it queued up on, you know, whatever streaming platform or on YouTube. You know, get ready.
Nice. Good deal. Hell yeah.
I love it. I love it.
I love this time of best. Year.
Oh, this is my favorite time of year, you know, when it starts getting cold, when you could actually wear hoodies and your Tims and people won't call you crazy because you're already watching horror ranking review movies in early September. Yep. Don't at me, bro. Okay. But seriously, like Donnie, I know you're a Halloween fanatic, but like, you know, just that tune alone, that piano key, the Michael Myers, it's enough to just like make me feel all warm inside.
Imagine sitting in the movie theater and watching that for the first time when it came out. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Big ups to the new Salem's Lot remake that's coming out. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Ooh.
October 2nd on Max. I think it's in a theater and then it's going to Max, the remake of Salem's Lot, which happens to be one of my all-time favorites, the original 1978-79 series. The book was in 74, but I think the TV series was either – I was 7. So that's either 78 or 79 that came out. And brother, that scared the shit out of me. When Barlow hit his finish.
TV series? Kids,
parents. Yeah, it was a 2-part series on TV, Salem's Lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the miniseries. 2 parts. And it was awesome, dude. I was like, oh shit. The scene where the kid is floating outside the window in his pajamas. That shit haunted me. And I showed my girls that about a year or two ago. Like I queued it up to when Barlow made his grand entrance. And like rose up and they laughed. They were like, Daddy, that's lame. Like, he looks terrible. He looks like a clown. Like, they weren't fazed by Barlow at all. Right. It's like, you kids don't know horror.
No, it's because they probably watch Face Off and see good makeup.
Yeah, bro, they shit on Barlow. How disrespectful.
Right. Yeah, I see him. He's out your window right behind you right now. Don't even look. He's there. Yeah, he's looking at you.
Shit. I thought that was a gee.
No, I remember Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Remember that?
Yes!
Yeah, that was over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was scary. Yo, I was scared of that.
Was scary, especially for like being, you know, I'm 45 now. So like, I was like 7, 8 watching that.
Yeah. Awesome. Guys, I think I have an I'm nothing today.
Ooh, let's hear your I'm nothing.
We haven't done an I'm nothing in a long time. I'm going to do one today. All right, okay. Let me put it up here. There, now it's official. All right, guys. So here's the thing. So we're on looking at YouTube the other night, right? And someone puts up this. Let me get it. Here it is. From KLA Clips on YouTube. The tragic story of Trent Acid. And look at the picture of the thumbnail on that. All right. So it's like 7.5 minutes. All right. So you guys, I suggest you watch it. Okay. If you can hear the sound of my voice, watch this thing on YouTube, go to KLA Clips. All right. The dude means well. All right. But some of the things they say in this make me out to be the biggest piece of shit scumbag in the world. All right. So obviously he hit the nail right on the head.
I was going to say, at least he didn't lie.
Yeah. Okay. So BJ watched it. Okay. Good. What'd you think, BJ? Did you like it? Did you think they made me out to be a big enough heel? My God. So
I did not see it for full transparency.
Well, let me tell you what they say. I'm going to correct a few things. So they say that Trent Acid was offered a heavyweight title run by John Zandig in CZW, but he basically would have had to sacrifice me in order to be the champion.
There's like kill you?
Well, like, I'm out of the company.
Oh.
Like, there's no more room for Johnny. Him and John don't get along. Johnny's a bitch. We hate him. Get rid of him, right? And we'll give you the heavyweight title. And they're acting like Trent decided to say, like, no, I'll just leave CZW so that my tag partner doesn't have to suffer. So, like, what a piece of shit I am. Like, come on. Like, I would tell Trent, no, don't be the heavyweight champion. Come stay with me and be bitter. Like, come on, right? You know, they leave that out. Then they say, I started PWU myself. Me and Trent started PWU together. You know, like, they're acting like, yeah, I tried to start a dungeon and I had him locked up in the dungeon so he couldn't go wrestle anywhere. And they just said, oh my God.
They said, your real name is John Kasner.
Like, three times. They used my shoot name, Donnie. They said, Johnny Kasner. Real name, John Kasner. K-A-S-N-E-R.
Awesome. I thought it was Kizentner. Yeah.
So I don't mean to cut Johnny off, but
no, cut me off. Fuck it.
The video pissed me off for a multitude of reasons, because not only did it, you know, tell an abridged version of a biased, you know, perspective, but it left out a lot of key facts, such as Donnie B, such as, you know, the people that, you know, were there for Trent through the thick of it all.
Didn't you hear that everything on the internet is true?
Of course I've heard that. So, you know, but so not only did dude leave out facts, but he discredited the entirety of Holy Trent Acid, which I don't even have to, you know, get into, you know, just why that would rub me the wrong way. But it really just, like, I contacted dude. And I said, listen, you know, I've been a fan of your work for, you know, some time, because I've been a fan of this guy's channel, KLA Clips. He did a really good video on the Justice Payne CM Punk match. He does very good videos. I don't know what happened in this video, but I basically told him, I said, it would be one thing if the story was over at this point, but you basically told the perspective of somebody who had only seen Trent wrestle Homicide and had only seen Trent Acid highlight clips. Somebody who had never seen a Backseat Boys match, someone who had never seen the Backseat Boys live, someone who we call it revisionist history. It happens a lot in wrestling documentaries where people who don't know the business or know the actual story, they're given the Cliff Notes version. So I told them, I said, you know, we had a very good conversation, and I basically, you know, we left it off where he will now be reviewing the best of Holy Trent Acid, JCW Lunacy. He sympathizes and empathizes completely with Johnny Kasner, and actually went and posted in that video highlighting the fact that Kasner made his return to professional wrestling and is now working with the Backseat Boys.
Yeah. And all the stuff about me being in the closet and gay back then and stuff was messing up my head, and everyone's talking about that. So I feel like people are like, oh, let's give Johnny a break. Well, I'm not trying to get a break. Listen, I was a dick in the past. Okay.
I did.
And guess what?
I did.
But wait a minute.
Sure.
Me being a dick is still inside of me. I have to fight it. And every day I have to override it with my brain and say, no, don't be that person anymore. But believe me when I tell you, it's still in there waiting to come out. And the Holy Trent Acid character is a character that I always found dear to my heart. When Trent Acid started doing that, it brought out a different character in him, a different part of his personality. I got to know a different part of Trent through that character. All right. So for this character to be chronicled as it is in this video, I think it's really good. I think it gives you a chance to see Trent in his many iterations. I think this video was very fair to Trent Acid. It just treated me like shit. But
up until Holy Trent, because it literally didn't cover it at all, barely acknowledged it, said, you know, I'm not familiar with this, whatnot, and then only spoke about the fact that it was his last match against Too Tough Tony. You know what I'm saying? So so again, afterwards, you know, and I did have that conversation where I explained, you know, like, the real life friction that you and Zandig had was for a multitude of reasons that has since been resolved. And you yourself were dealing with very well documented, you know, issues, including but not limited to what you just said. I'm not going to speak on your behalf, but I basically said, for you to tell the story, you have to get all points of view, not just pigeonhole and cherry pick the facts and artifacts that you want to tell your story, because that's what the documentary came out as to me. Somebody who really just wanted to sell Trent's story for views.
Well,
and I know that's not what, and I know that's not what, and I know that's not what he wanted to do. So we left it off.
It's not like he's got some deal on HBO Max to make this video. It's a kid.
No, no, I was just gonna say
he did a good job. Exactly. Listen,
even when like when Darkseid did that Death of WCW with Bischoff or The Rock's company, or they did that documentary with The Rock talking about WrestleMania. Whoever controls the narrative or is producing the documentary is always going to slant it in whatever manner they see fit. So if this kid is doing the documentary and doesn't have all the knowledge and the history books in front of them of what actually happened, they're just going to produce something based on the firsthand knowledge that they have. Whether or not it's true or complete is an afterthought. They're just going to put something out that tells the story that they want to tell. The story they want to tell, the narrative story, might be different than the actual truth. It might be different than the story that those involved want to tell. But that's part of the reason why we want to do this 25th anniversary of the Backseats. So
right,
the actual truth by the people involved can be told, and the stories can be told with the proof of the guys who were there. So, I mean, take this for a grain of salt, Johnny. I wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep over it.
No.
You know, I get it. The guy might have slanted you a little bit in it or healed you, whatever. I didn't see it. Quite like frankly, I said, I have no interest in watching it. But I
can watch it, Donnie. Honestly, you should watch it. It's not bad. It's very fair to Trent. And then they do get a lot of things right. Like, here's what happened. The kid, and I say kid, I don't mean that condescendingly. He's younger than me, so he's a kid. He probably watched our shoot interviews, Donnie, honestly.
Yeah.
And followed the train of thought there. And me and Trent, 24 years old doing shoot interviews, probably all high and stuff.
Yeah.
We probably didn't even make sense in our shoot interview. So he's listening to us tell stories that we probably were telling wrong, is what I'm thinking.
Well, I spoke to him again. I think it's just he read online. He did what you said, Johnny. He read your old interviews or watched your old interviews and took anecdotes and put together what we saw. And I complimented him. I said, I appreciate what you did. I recommend everybody check this out because, you know, this is just one of many videos online that inspired us to get to this point to where we need to put out our own documentary. Like Donnie B said, do it right and actually hit the facts that are being left out of the textbooks of pro wrestling, yeah. Because that's what it is right now. We're dealing with outdated wrestling textbooks. And
right.
What that means is we're dealing with a distorted history, and right. No longer can we deal with that distorted history.
History is written by the victors. It's written by who wins the wars and the battles. So it doesn't have to necessarily be true. It just has to be convenient.
That's very true.
And I think this, listen, guys, I have no delusions that I was this great guy when I was younger. Okay, I always had good intentions. I never set out to hurt people, but I was misguided and I had a lot of shit going on in my head, and I've had to deal with shit that people shouldn't have to deal with, and I've overcome it, and I'm not bitter about it. I love everything I had to go through because it makes me me. Okay, but the truth is, a lot of the stuff they said about me in this thing, that is the person I was. I wasn't the nicest guy in the world. I had a lot of fear of missing out. I was scared to death people were going to figure me out and learn and then say, I don't want to be around this guy. I'm not going to wrestle this guy anymore, especially back then, you know? So I just want everyone to know out there, I was no angel. I'm not on here trying to say, no, Johnny was an awesome guy. No, I was a piece of shit at times, and I still have it in me to be a piece of shit, just like every one of you guys. But I keep myself mentally on check. I'm not a slob. I work hard, you know? I work hard to try to stay on track and make sure everything's legit and that I'm speaking the truth, you know? And when it comes to Trent Acid and the Backseat Boys, this is my life's work. This is all I have, guys. This is it.
Right.
So if this stuff ain't true, I have to correct it. You know, that's all.
Exactly.
I got to correct it. But so real quick,
disinformation of the internet, like that's, you're only going to get part of the story from what you research unless you get the knowledge firsthand. So with that being said, like, you know, I saw a comment on here, maybe you should make a documentary. Well, you know, it's potential. You can always do it yourself.
Well,
that's what we are doing. We announced it
last week when, yeah, you know what?
Unfortunately, you stepped off because
your son. Tell us, how's your son? Didn't he get, did we have, hold
so,
on.
So, did, hold initially on, I saw.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Did we have a live like attack last week on the air?
Yeah. Yes. So my son was outside in the backyard of my neighbors, and he ended up stepping on a yellow jacket hive. Oof. And they were swarming him as he was coming in the house. By the time I was pulling him and throwing him in the shower just with his clothes on, he was already stung 8 times. By the time I got all the bees off of him, he was stung 17, and I was stung 3 myself because they were trying to attack me. So there was, like, legitimately, when I threw him in and turned on the shower, bees were falling off of him. The ones that were in the house, I killed 8 in the living room, you know, 6 in the hallway, 4 in his bedroom, and 3 in the bathroom. Once they were all dead, then I got him out, and dude, and then I had to jump off of here. That's when I actually closed out of here, and then, you know, wife came home, called the doctor, had to go to the ER because yellow jackets are actually venomous, and based on his weight of only being 66 pounds, he had 17 stings. Luckily, Tylenol, Benadryl, and then Russian kicking of Prussia ER for job. So that was my Tuesday night.
Good kids, Lord. Stay indoors.
Like, but that's, it's just a day in my life, you know. It's a normal. That's a day that ends in Y for me.
And it was on the air too. It happened.
And it was on the air.
So bad. That was so bad. Poor kid.
Chris, I'm sorry, but you only because you played the Halloween theme earlier when you said 8 times. My mind immediately went to Sam Loomis going, "I shot him 6 times."
Now look, this is how rumors start. Look, Chris Gorish wrote, look what Rap Boy wrote. Johnny was a good bartender at a go-go bar back in the days. What? No, I wasn't. I didn't bartend at a go-go bar.
What?
Like, what? That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, around the time I told Trent Acid not to be the champion. Wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. Glad he didn't get my girl. Yes, BJ, that's what we were saying last week on air. I said it's like that Macaulay Culkin movie, and Donnie immediately goes, he did the job.
Yeah, yeah. You can't see without his glasses. The glasses.
He did, brother.
Dude, he Macaulay Culkin's doing a tour.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing a Home Alone tour all around, and he's coming to this area too, and they do a screening of Home Alone, and then you get to hang out with Macaulay Culkin. Did you guys know? I sent it to you, Donnie. I sent it to you on Instagram last week.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Is he Home Alone hard tour? Up? Is he like hard up for cash or something?
Are you suggesting we get him for November 2nd?
I was going to say.
He does wrestling appearances. He's done wrestling spots before. And I was going to say the Home Alone tour should be where you go and like have a meal out on Macaulay Culkin and you return to your house and it's all like rigged with booby traps and you know, you have to find Kevin.
And you get hit in the face with a snow shovel. Yes.
I'm almost positive he did a spot on an indie show or something years ago with the paint bucket with a string or something.
I'm telling you
that exists. I saw that. Was it did Freddie Prinze Jr. have something to do with that show? I think he did. Maybe
he might have. That makes sense.
Wasn't he supposed to start something? I thought I heard that somewhere. Freddie Prinze Jr. was starting a company.
That makes sense.
He had wanted to.
We have more about the go-go bar situation from Rat Boy. Hold on. Uh-oh. Yes, the one from off of Route 1 by the Parks Casino. Oh, the Oakford Inn. Yeah, I did not bartend there. Jesus. He's still insisting.
He's got a lot of details, Johnny.
Guys, I did not bartend at a go-go bar. I would never do that. I DJ'd at a go-go bar.
Listen, we're going to make this very simple. Rap Boy, if you can hear my voice, yes or no, did Johnny ever bartend and hang out with people at a go-go bar? I just need a yes or no for a final verdict.
Matt, whose side are you on? Seriously, hoping to see the unit get all the gold? Really?
Chris said, okay, it's not even a correct answer.
Way to follow instructions. It was yes or no. Was John a purveyor of perfectly perverted porn at the go-go bar?
Did I hang out at go-go bars, Chris Gorish? Yes or no? We're going to stand here forever waiting. Obviously, yes. It's obviously yes. I'm a go-go bar king, apparently. Unbelievable. It's like the bada bing.
Bada boom.
Bada bing. Yeah, me at all these go-go bars everywhere.
I have a 15 minute if we have time.
Do you really?
I do.
Hold on. Let me put it up. I love doing this one. There it is. 15 minutes, brother. Let's see.
Hold on. Trigger the OG and Danny Miles are real good. Yeah, they're real good at, you know, having belts that aren't theirs, Matt. So,
Falcone Punch! All right. And it would be sick if they had all those belts.
So, for my 15 minute of fame this week, I want to talk about something that's kind of been irking me for the last few weeks. Actually, the last few months. It seems that I can't go on the internet and look at anything wrestling related without somebody complaining about this upcoming, this pending AEW TV deal and what it might mean for the business and the boys and everything else. I just want to come on here and say, how about we just sit back and let these motherfuckers run their company the best way they see fit? It does no good for anyone to constantly every day project or try to predict what this deal is going to be, how much money it's going to be, what network it's going to be on, and all this other ridiculous bullshit. At this point, unless it was $1 billion every week they got, nothing is ever going to live up to the hype. So I would just caution everybody, let them just live. Yeah, that's perfect music. Let them just have their deal. Let them put it out there. Let them get their money and let them just produce their show the way they want to produce. Today I was reading, oh, this is definitely going to be the deal. So-and-so was wrong. They're reporting this. This is going to be the deal. I'm thinking like, what the fuck? Unless you're the actual president of the network or Tony Khan himself, you have no right to even talk about this shit. It's so stupid. It's on the same level as these dipshit assholes that put those pictures out all the time of like an hour before the doors open or AEW is like a low attendance figure and they put these photos out. That's so fucking stupid. Why would you put a picture out of a company that's in existence, that's trying to put out a product and feed a lot of families with these paychecks? Why the fuck would you do that? That's so stupid. And say, oh, look, AEW is not even selling out the hard cam side or the other side. And it's just so asinine when I see this shit. I just shake my head and go, what purpose could somebody sit at their phone or sit at a computer, take that photo and upload it and type that shit on there and put, oh, look, AEW can't even sell out. Look, this is the lowest attendance ever in the history of AEW Dynamite. Just shut the fuck up. Let them run their company. If you don't have a goddamn helpful bone in your body or can't offer any kind of solution or something productive, then shut the fuck up. There's only a handful of people in this country that are, if Brett Lauderdale was sitting there and saying, hey, this is what we should do, or Danny McDevitt saying, hey, these are some ideas to increase attendance, that's who you should listen to. Not some Joey bag of fucking ball bag donuts who's sitting at home saying, oh yeah, AEW sucks, man. Tony doesn't know how to book. It's just so stupid, dude. I'm just so tired of hearing this shit. If you got nothing to bring as far as positivity goes, just shut the fuck up, crawl back in your hole, and just stay irrelevant.
Yeah, for that.
There you go. Delco, what do you think? Thank you. He's applauding for those of you who can't see it. And I got no dog in the fight. I got a lot of friends that work in AEW. You know, like I said, Power Child's doing something there now. And
yeah,
you know, a lot of other friends there. But I can't understand why anyone would either wish ill will or not support somebody 100% instead of harping, even other podcasts, you know, that just constantly harp.
I put it akin to, you know, a lot of people in this world, you know, you look at the most of the stuff that's being created today. Only 15% of the people in the entire world put out and create something like something that people will actually enjoy. So I've lived by a mantra where I don't ask questions when the answer is what the fuck. So if I'm not putting positivity out in the world, I don't need to be thinking about it. I don't need to be harping on it. I don't need to even have it in my thought process.
Yeah. You know what? Like, let's just stop and think for a second. 5 years ago, there was no pro wrestling on TBS or TNT. There was no other company. If you didn't work for Vince, you weren't working anywhere, whether it was indies or scraping by or overseas. This guy came along, and yeah, I know his dad's money, all this other bullshit, and whatever the fuck, man. This guy's
but he's putting something out in the world that everybody can fucking enjoy.
He could literally drink whatever he wants every single day in a different company, have a new jet to drive or fly every day of the week, a new car to drive, and never wear the same outfit twice, we would never have to hear or see the name Tony Khan. This guy took all these bullets from everybody online for the last 5 years, and all he wants to do is put on a goddamn pro wrestling show. That's it. And just let him do
whether,
it.
Whether he's losing money or not is irrelevant. He has the money to burn, so let him burn it. Like, he's putting
content out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if these people that complain on these other podcasts, if you don't like what he's doing, either don't watch it, offer some constructive criticism. Instead of saying 10 things that are stupid and don't help anybody, just offer one suggestion. Like, hey, I might do this. I might do that. And I get it. It's cool. The fashionable thing is to bash AEW when they're down. Fuck that, you idiots. Because if it goes away,
you know what?
We're never going to see this again, ever.
No, we're not.
And seeing this, you know, I saw something with MJF and how he said that if you're not watching the other products, you're not a student of the game. So yeah. It doesn't matter if it's AEW, WWE, New Japan, or even the indies. Like he said, if you're not watching everything, how can you call yourself a student of the game?
I guarantee you, every single person that works in the WWE wants nothing more than AEW to be uber successful. Because if they ever have to go somewhere, there's another place for them to go.
Right.
I guarantee you, there's not a single member of the WWE roster behind the scenes, in the ring, referees, cameras, whatever it is, that's saying, oh man, fuck them. I hope they go out of the business. Of course not. They're saying, I hope he gets $1 billion a year on a TV deal, because if some shit goes sideways, I might have to go there. That's exactly
all
what
the talent,
doing.
All the workers, all the production crews, everybody wants everybody to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, people, I just don't get it, dude.
I feel like fans, or specifically the people who want to criticize AEW, lose sight of the fact that at the end of the day, all these different wrestling companies are like different cars. WWE might be, say, a Porsche. AEW might say be, you know, and I'm just spitballing here, but like, you know, a convertible or I'm sorry, a Corvette. Now, obviously they're different performance vehicles, but when it gets down to it, they serve different purposes. One person who's going to drive one vehicle is going to choose to drive that vehicle. Somebody's going to choose to drive a Corvette because they want to drive with the top down, et cetera, et cetera. So to say that one is better than the other, well, in actuality, it doesn't necessarily, the car is sort of useless without the driver, and the wrestling promotion is sort of useless without the wrestlers or the fans watching it. So by that standpoint, it doesn't really matter what brand. This tribalism, as, you know, people like Ginger and, you know, BJ are pointing out, that's all it is just tribalism and brand recognition, when in actuality, it's no different than, you know, fighting about Hanes or Fruit of the Loom. That's how you sound.
That's just my thing, man. Just maybe to finish up this year and going into next year, just let them do their thing and help them grow, spread some positivity, and just realize every fucking stone you throw or arrow you try to sling, all it's going to do is drive somebody further away. Because all Tony has to do is wake up one day and go, this was great for 5 or 6 years, but, you know, I'm going to move on to something else, and I'm going to either sell this asset or just close up shop and put out there, hey, these are the 5 or 6 years or 7, 10 years.
At any point in this juncture, you can be like, you know, I did it. I'm good. I'm happy.
It was great. I'm going to move on to buying my own soccer team or something. Don't forget, these guys are worldwide.
That's what they
in
did.
England. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, and then a whole bunch of fans will go, oh, fuck Tony, he closed up AEW. Fuck him. Like, it's just stupid, dude.
Well, look what happened at WCW. Think about the exec who just woke up one day and said, "Eh, I'm tired of losing $1 million every time we run a taping."
That's exactly why WCW faded into oblivion. Eric Bischoff and Fusion Media had a deal in place, but without the TV rights and without the TV time, 2 or 3 hours a week, it was worthless. What were you buying? Some rings and some trucks and some contracts that they didn't want. So once he didn't have that, he said, "Fuck it." That's exactly what happened. That's all that would have to happen today.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Let's just see the deal come out. Let the boys get their paydays. Let everybody have prosperity and just continue to work. And those that deserve to thrive because they're uber talented in the wrestling business will shine through. The others will stay quagmired or sink to the bottom, and they'll just kind of float around, and that's fine. But there's a reason they're called superstars. Not everybody, like I've always said in the past, if everybody's over, nobody's over. There's guys who are always going to stand out. There's guys who are always going to be on top, and it's okay not to be one of them. Right. You should want to be. You should want to be the world champ. But if not, you know, whatever. Just stay in the business as long as you can. Make your money. Don't embarrass your craft. And move on to something else.
Yep. And I just want to remind everyone, 50% off. Use promo code Philly at SpoWrestling.com. That's our way of saying thank you to our fans for November 2nd. But I want to say, you guys, real quick, also, we are 10 minutes from the top of the hour where we're going to see the first season of Trip TV in its entirety, the director's cut. So stay tuned for that. That'll be on the Spo Wrestling YouTube channel right at 8 o'clock. But guys, we got about 10 more minutes, and I want to ask you guys a question. I love mysteries and trying to figure out shit. Donnie, I'm going to ask this to you first. What do you guys make out? What do you make of this whole JBL showing up like a vigilante at MLW and GCW and TNA? People are saying, oh, it's on behalf of Triple H. Have you heard anything? Why is this happening, Donnie? It's bizarre, to be honest with you.
It reminds me of what Jeff Jarrett did a few years ago in GCW, that last Outlaw. I think most likely someone in the business, I don't know if it was Nick Nemeth or who, there you go, they reached out either at some point was having a conversation with JBL, and the subject was broached. Hey, what do you think about coming in? What is that?
Oh. I don't know.
What do you think about coming in for a one-off or see what you would like? Or just, and then he probably got on the phone, talked to the promoter, talked to Brett or whoever else, and said, yeah, fuck it, let me do it. It's so outside the box and so out there. I don't think he was put up to it by Triple H. I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think this is JBL just wanting to do it and just trying something different. I think it's cool.
I think it's awesome, but I feel like there's more to it, bro. Something, I don't know, an itch. It just seems odd. It seems, and then like, why MLW? Like, how do they decide which places to go and why? And if you've noticed, he's never been advertised ahead of time. So none of these feds have been able to capitalize on it at all. So that's why I'm thinking, I don't know, bro. Do you think they're even flying
he's
him?
Not under con- no, I'm assuming he's not under any kind of WWE deal right now. That's the other thing.
Probably
I thought
not.
Of. Yeah.
Do you? So he's, do you think they're flying him in, or is he showing up?
No, I'm assuming they're covering his trans, unless he says like, "Hey, I'm going to be in that area for something else, and maybe we can make something work." I think deep down inside, he just wants to do it.
Well,
honestly,
you gotta think,
I don't think there's any other question.
The JBL thing going into multiple companies the way he has, and then TNA doing the deal with NXT and the TNA guys being able to work out at the Performance Center. This is all like end of days shit. This has never happened
under Vince. That's the thing. All the stuff we're seeing now was always talked about years ago by all the fans. And all that was, hey, listen, this could happen. Wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Everything we're seeing now is shit that was talked about for decades, but Vince would never allow it. So now he's not there. This whole new regime. The TNA thing is cool. Fucking A, I saw Hammerstone on the, he was in NXT last week or something.
Yeah.
How cool was that?
It says JBL is under a Legends contract by WWE.
There you go. And I'm sure if he signed that, I guarantee you he either called over there or contacted somebody and said, hey, I have a chance to do a couple of these one-offs or some shots and stuff. It could be cool. And they probably said, go ahead. We don't care what you do, John.
I feel like there's still an unwritten chapter we haven't seen. I feel like if it ends right now and we just never see JBL again, he just goes into existence, what's the point of it all? There has to be.
You're right. I will say, just like Jarrett, this could be a way for John to gauge interest from the fan base to see if there is any interest in him coming back and doing something like a small. I don't think he's going to be in the ring with a run in WWE, but, you know, you get enough buzz on the indies. And you could pop up at an event like that. He could do the same thing on a WWE event that he's doing here. Just literally come out and close somebody and they go, holy shit, it's JBL. Like, you know what I mean? That could happen. 911.
Like a 911.
Mm-hmm.
I can see two paths. It's like one where it's like he's doing it on his own volition. The other one is that it's like, hey, you know, he could be vetting these and say, which promotions do you want me to tag? And I'll go and you know, spark them up a little bit and get some buzz around them so they can succeed and you know, whether WWE or other major promotions use them as a training facility to get them into the major promotions. That's also another segue.
Yeah, the MLW one surprised me. Only I think somebody just said it. The lawsuit that they got against him, that one surprised me a little bit, unless he knows Court Bauer. And maybe Court saw that he was doing this in a couple other places. He dropped him a line and said, hey, man, why don't you come in and do a little deal like that for MLW? Just pop in, do your thing, and then split. I'll pay you X amount of dollars. Whatever. Yep. Who knows? But yep. I think it's cool. Anytime you can have an air of suspense or the unknown on a show, you can't buy that. So if you got 1,000 people sitting in the audience and they're like, we see the advertised card for tonight, but in addition to that, we kind of think one or two other things might happen here. I'm glad I'm here to see
right.
it. So that's kind
of
cool.
And I love his jacket. I think his look is banging. I think it's the best look any of any JBL ever is him coming out in the Bounty Hunter jacket with the hat and clotheslining people. I think he looks cool as shit.
Now, let's say he does this in a few more places, right, for another month or two. And I'm just throwing this out hypothetically. Then he pops up on an AEW pay-per-view or an AEW Dynamite or something and does this. It's going to have a hell of a lot more impact because the fans that follow AEW also follow most of the other stuff out there. And they're going to say, holy shit, it's JBL. So who knows? He could be doing that too.
Right.
And he owns JBL, I'm pretty sure. So he could be that too. I mean, fucking name.
Right.
So. Yep.
Pretty neat, man. So we're about 3 or 4 minutes away from season one going up on premiering on YouTube of Trip TV. Tommy, you want to say anything about it real quick?
Yeah, you know, just catch it now. It's live in about 4 minutes at the Spell Wrestling YouTube page. It's going to be the director's cut. Anything that was formerly advertised as it relates to the September 14th event that didn't take place has since been removed. But on the flip side, there's also a few segments that maybe didn't make it in the first time around, stuff that was left on the cutting board. That, of course, is going to make it back in. This is the Trip TV Season 1 Director's Cut, all 6 episodes uploaded, remastered in 4K resolution. Earlier, I didn't want to, you know, just leave this out because I didn't mean to address it, but earlier we were talking about, you know, Halloween and the season and whatnot. And Bristow, of course, played the Halloween theme. I think that's definitely for the month of October. I want to do some recap of some of our promos that we filmed last year, last October, including the ICP videos and the ones with the mask from Greektown. So stay tuned for those. For those who haven't seen those yet, you know, we're definitely going to be playing some throwback backseat content.
Yep. If you fans, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. So we're plagiarizing off ourselves and using our old. We're handing in our old papers to new teachers. Is what we're.
That's
doing.
Right. That's so, right. Yeah. Johnny's giving me last semester's answers for the big quiz.
I threw the YouTube link in the chat here so everybody can see it.
Yep. There it is. YouTube link. Right there. That's it.
And apparently Tyree Orlando said, saw you guys at the gathering, but kind of hoping the New England boys, the unit, take the gold.
Wow.
All right. All you fans of the unit, I really hope that you guys get ready to have your hopes and dreams crushed.
Look, kinda he's like asking Kashmir. Kashmir, would you book the unit for SPO? I don't know. I'm a piece of shit, guys. You don't.
Yeah, why are you asking Johnny nice?
They can come to SPO. They can come to SPO, but only if Trent Acid gets no heavyweight title run out of it. Then they take the come. It's the only way. Other than that, we don't want them. Where's this Hammerstone thing to take off? I can't remove it.
Danger.
There it is. Got it.
Real quick shout out before we end. I just want to say thank you to I Love Artists. Our friend I Love Artists, he's currently working on a project for me. I hired him to do
a poster
for my Halloween party. I Hate Artists. He's doing exceptional work. I'll privy it to you guys before I release it to the public. But it's a special little project I'm working on for my Halloween party, the 10th anniversary of a Barry Bucci Halloween this year.
We're going to miss it.
He's making a special poster. I know, it's okay. You'll be there in spirit. But he's making a very special poster for us for that night.
Wow.
We're going to have some live.
Huge shout out.
I promise I'll make the match graphics. You need match graphics for your Halloween party, Donnie. I'm making them for you.
Yeah, we could use
them. For your awards, and then live stream us when the awards come, and then we'll submit our contest for that day.
Our contest of champions, if you will.
Our costume contests, like what we're going as, because it is October season.
All right, well, head over to SPO Wrestling on YouTube, you guys, and check out the complete first season in its entirety of Trip TV, and we're going to have more announcements coming up soon. Save your 50% off for the next day or two for November 2nd. Tickets, everybody. Trust me and do it now. We're going to add a lot more to this event in the next few weeks. And this Saturday night, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, wrestling is now. Channing Decker defends the gold title against Feral Face. Backseat Boys defend Juggalo titles against the Units, Win titles, and the Reps SPO titles. All that this week, you guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see y'all next week.
Whoop, whoop.